I know what's going to be stuck in my head all afternoon. Yay. So having amply established with this service and our reading, Theta's reflection, the Peg Capron Award, that the work of justice is very important in a congregation, what makes a congregation different than a justice organization? I mean, I don't mean how bad governing what constitutes IRS tax exemption and so on, and I could give you those if you really wanted them, but setting that aside, is it a social change organization? Any congregational leaders who are around for a while will at some point be approached by somebody in the congregation who complains that every sermon is about social justice. This is supposed to be a church, not the ACLU. And if these leaders have not heard it by then, they will soon the voice of someone else who wishes the church would do more for justice. What else are we here for, folks like that say? It is true that we are a religious community, not the ACLU. And it is true that one of the things we're here for is to transform the world. I think of a church as being somewhat like the individual being addressed in Rabbi Hillel's famous dictum, "If I am not for myself, who will be for me? And if I am only for myself, what am I?" A church is supposed to take care of the people within, be a close community where we learn, where we expand our understanding of the world, both physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. And if we are only for ourselves, what is a church for? So, you know, no matter what you do, some will say that we're too much of a social change organization. Others will say we're not enough of one. And obviously it's a balance, being a faith that is the sister of justice in James Luther Adams' words. And we may not always have the balance that we want. But I say the great potential of a congregation, our own or any religious community, is the way it integrates justice making with other aspects. It's an institution so well designed for this that if religious communities didn't already exist, we'd have to invent them. This is a place where we build relationships of mutual care, where we take care of one another in times of trouble, where we hear about one another's joys, where we build affection over lunch together, and we support one another in questions that arise in book groups and small groups. And all of these are an ideal foundation for justice work. There are organizers of social justice, such as the folks from what was called the Peninsula Interfaith Action, now Faith in Action, or PICO nationwide, who will tell you how envious they are of the network that we have here in a congregation for mobilizing for social justice. These are the things that they're constantly working to create, and they're trying to create the kind of relationships that we already have. Now, if you show up at a congregation with a justice issue dear to your heart, and you think right away, ooh, access to 300 people, and use coffee hour as a mission field to spread the word about your cause, however good that cause is, you're going to drive people away. But once you have a genuine connection to the people, many of them, if not all 300, and then you speak from your heart about this issue and why it matters to you, lo and behold, great things tend to happen. Also, religious communities are where we're reminded of what is most important to us, our spiritual searches, our emotional needs, the things that we value most, the very roots and reason for our living, our inspiration, which literally means that which gives us breath. That's what we come here to remember. What is the purpose of our lives? That's the kind of question we ask here. What makes a good life? And how do I go about living the way I imagine I ought to? How do we connect to the sacred? What is the sacred? Is there a God? And if so, what's our relationship to God? Is there some kind of judgment ahead of us? And if so, on what criteria will we be judged? Is there anything from which we need to be saved? And how do we find that salvation? You know, we're here to transform ourselves and each other and the world. These are not in order of importance. They're woven together and mutually supporting. Because having a place where we ask those questions, that too fires up our passion for justice. What we're talking about is the church's rootedness in two concerns that James Luther Adams himself named elsewhere in his writings, intimacy and ultimacy. The church is an institution that brings these together with justice. So for an example of intimacy, as I've said, that's the kind of places where we meet one another in times of need, where we have conversations that are meaningful, where we build a sense of affection and mutual support and care. But let me give you an example that I experienced outside the church that was very personal about how that interweaves with justice work. I brought up a point on Facebook. It's one I've worked into a sermon since. I was reading a lot about worries about Sharia law. Oh, there's these Muslim courts in places like Cleveland. Muslim courts in Cleveland. And I wrote on Facebook, you know, Sharia law, it's not about replacing civil law, not here, not in Cleveland, although there, of course, are Muslim theocracies in the world. Sharia is like a canon law for Catholics or the rabbinic law for Jews. It governs your religious life, and so you have a Sharia court for your religious matters and the civil court for your secular matters. No reason to worry about that any more than we worry about the practices of Catholics and Jews. So I posted this and got a private message from somebody who I'm friends with, obviously, on Facebook, but we seldom even interact there, much less have private message exchanges. He had some disagreement with this, and we entered into a conversation about it. And the thing about that conversation is it was built on a foundation that was in place before he even sent me that private message, before he even read what I had said. He's married to one of my closest friends. And although I don't know him well, we like each other. You know, we know each other through his wife, this dear friend of mine. We're not ourselves close friends yet, but we have a very strong interest, the two of us, in having a good relationship. Neither one of us wants to have a conflict that would create real pain for his wife, my friend, and we like each other. We have a basis of trust because this person who is so dear to both of us trusts us both and we trust her. That relationship, the primacy of that relationship, the importance of it for us, helped us to have a good conversation. I don't know what was happening on his side, but for me, it definitely helped me check any of those tendencies that I just might have on a bad day of thinking, oh, if he disagrees with me about this, he must be this kind of person. If he believes A, he must believe B, C, and D. It helped me to really listen to him. And we did have a very good conversation that I think helped us move closer not only to understanding one another, but to act justly in the world as we both wish to do. Perhaps you've noticed, as I have, a difference between conversations about controversial matters based on loving, caring relationships like that and those we have with strangers, where my worst thoughts about people are apt to run away with me. Although I've tried to use this as a model. Good work happens for justice when we already have a relationship, just as the Community organizers in PICO and Faith in Action will tell us. Now, sometimes our desire to sustain a relationship can keep us quiet in the face of injustice, and that's the danger of those relationships, of that strong desire and imperative. But if we balance our passion for justice with our ardent wish to stay connected to one another, then we might be able to communicate better. We listen better. We're more willing to expand our own idea of the truth and what is right. And that furthers the work of justice making. We build those relationships here, of course. And then that's intimacy. There's ultimacy. We also strengthen our commitment to whatever is of ultimate concern to us. So, in order to give us each an example in our own minds, I'd like to take just a moment here, give you a minute or so, to reflect on the connection between the things that you consider most important in life, the things you value, the principles that you try to live by, and people or organizations who work for justice, the causes that you embrace. I'm not going to ask you to share. This service is a little longer than the previous one due to our wonderful celebration of social justice with our award to Jane. But just for an example, when I went around at the first service and asked what people came up with, somebody shared about how the love for nature that has always been so important to her fires her work in wildlife rehabilitation and mitigating climate change, and she choked up as she said this. She's spoken about environmental issues many times, and I've never heard her choke up like that. It's because she was tapping into that ultimate concern. This isn't just a cause for her, if there's ever such a thing. It's just one of the most important things in her life, the way she relates to the natural world, and that's why she's an environmental activist. So take a moment to think about what that might be for you, one or two of those things. Place I see these things all come together, intimacy and ultimacy and our work for justice, took place just 2 weeks ago here in our welcoming congregation renewal kickoff. 25 people came to that meeting. Boy, that's a rare thing for people to, that many people to come out for anything short of an annual meeting. If you don't know, the welcoming congregation is the formal term for UU congregations that proactively welcome LGBT folks. And we are renewing that process and in order to learn the next steps and stay in good relationship with those folks in the wider community of Unitarian Universalists. You can read about that meeting if you weren't there in the bulletin that comes out next week. But there it was, the intimate relationships among us, the sense of a deep desire for equality and fairness that just gets us right in our gut, that's why so many of us do the work we do in the world, live the way we live. That was touched on that too, those intimacy and ultimacy, and there it was, a chance to act accordingly. So it seems apt that the service comes shortly after that, and then right between Coming Out Day, which was just 2 days ago, and International Pronouns Day, a holiday I did not know about, that's coming up on Wednesday, October 16th. Two ways for us to mark respect for people of different gender identities and orientations. Also apt, but unfortunate, is the fact that this service follows a week in which our national structures for preserving and creating justice are as weak as they have ever been in my lifetime. The constitutional fear during the Nixon years is fully upon us. Whether one takes the position that the president is abusing his power and subverting rather than upholding the laws of the land, or that Congress is abusing its power of oversight in order to harass and harangue the president, one cannot help quaking at the clash currently underway. We're accustomed, at least I'm accustomed, to justice looking something like this. You sign a petition or go to a forum, you join or support an organization, change your buying habits, try to influence the leaders or citizens of our country to take a particular action or refrain from an action. What about when the very foundations of our country are in peril? When at least one of the three branches of the federal government is doing its utmost to undermine the rule of law upon which all of those things rest? James Luther Adams warned of this. How could he not, having seen in his lifetime the rise of fascism and a world war to beat it back, and then the rise of Stalinism and the anti-communist frenzy that he saw as he wrote here in our country? What we're seeing today is new for many of us, but it is far from new for this nation. He wrote, "The sustaining, transforming reality can be perverted by willful peoples abusing their freedom into a power that up to a point supports evil." We give great freedom and power to our guardians of justice so that they may protect our freedoms and make justice possible, make all those organizations, all those efforts that we make even possible. When they abuse this power, it turns from good to evil, and that is what is happening today. But Adam's warning is not only for them, but for us. As Theda shared with us, the commanding, sustaining, transforming power can, at least for a time, be bottled up in dead words or in frozen institutions. When our words are deadened, our institutions frozen, whether governmental institutions or ones just like this congregation here, it is we who must thaw them and bring them back to vigorous life. Who else watches the watchers? And if we, watching the watchers, see them betray justice rather than uphold it, we must speak, we must act, we must insist that the words not be dead words on a parchment, but alive, living every day. We must hold our institutions to their highest ideals, which are to create justice, not quash it, or all our other justice efforts will falter. We sang that song we know so well, "This Little Light of Mine." We never sing this verse because it's not in our hymnal, but maybe you know it from your childhood. Hide it under a bushel? Hide it under a bushel? No! That's, of course, a reference to Jesus saying, when you have a light to shine, you don't put a bushel basket over it. You let it shine. Our passion for justice, the connection between our relationships and justice, the relationship between the things that we value most and justice, that's a bright light. We don't hide it under a basket. As Einstein reminds us in the centering words we heard, the world is not endangered only by those who commit evil or those who encourage it. You can read the newspaper and shake your head at all of those folks, but then each of us has to look in the mirror. Because as Einstein said, even more, the world is in peril because of those who merely tolerate it. So let us let our light shine and our faith be a faithful sister to justice so that we may make the whole world what we envision here in our beloved community.